friends. Welcome to My Back 40 and the My Back 40 podcast. I'm your host, Steve O'Shaughnessy. Thanks for tuning in. I wanted to just do a solo podcast. A lot going on leading into summer and a lot to talk about in this podcast. But first, I wanted to talk about Divide by Two Wheels, the book, the audio book that was just released. Racing a mountain bike unsupported 2,700 miles from Canada to Mexico on the Continental Divide, written by Michael J. Devitt. Several months ago, Michael gave me permission to read this book, and it's been a long project. It's been a long time coming, and it's finally here, and I couldn't be more proud of this book. The reviews coming in are great. People are really digging it. It was well vetted, I think. And I worked really hard on it. I worked really hard to make sure that it's as pro as possible, given my, I have a lot of audio experience. You know, I've been podcasting for almost 5 years. So, in terms of the audio editing, of a book like this, how many pages is this? It's like, it was 20, 25 chapters with prologues and epilogues. You know, it's 182 pages long. And I would say that, the end of the appendix is 181 pages. And I would say it took anywhere between 2 hours. Yeah. 1.5 to 2 hours per chapter of reading. And that was kind of like everything encompassed. Like I would, read, edit, noise correct. And it's funny too. I ended up putting, it should be several weeks. It should be out there on all the audiobook aggregators. And, there's a lot of requirements for audio when you submit an audiobook. So I was lucky enough that I did a lot of the work up front, that I didn't have to do a lot of spit shining on the book, if you will, to get it out there into the world. But I'm really proud of the work. Michael's words are, he was a really fun author to read. There's like a really, you know, fairly dry, indirect, subtle sense of humor that's kind of intertwined within the chapters. And you might hear me sometimes, I would read a piece and you might hear me kind of inflect some laughter. Because it's funny, like having ridden the route myself, it resonated for me deeply, actually, which I think is one of the reasons why it came out so well, I think, is that I was able to really relate to a lot of the situations that Michael was in, and some of the mental anguish you feel when you're, you know, riding distances like that, and the people you meet. And I think one of the biggest challenge I had, and I had one listener send me a message saying, "I really like your lady voice," and it's like the first voice I had to come up with was the voice of the woman working at the Bolton Creek store complaining that they're mud all over the creamers. And I remember reading that the first time, and I was like, you know, come on, bikepackers, you know, leave it better than you found it. Don't go in and like shit on this store and track your mud all through the store and, you know, show some respect. But anyway, it was like, you know, I had to talk like this because that was the woman's voice. And then, so as I got more into the book, more characters were introduced, and some of them were from other countries. And so I'm like, well, how am I going to do this accent? Like, I can kind of do that in a way. And I'm not sure too, like characters would appear and then disappear for a while and then reappear later. And I was like, oh, I don't remember how I spoke for that person. Like, I don't know how I did it. Sometimes I'd add a little bit of country inflection, you know, like as I went further south, or as the book took you further south, I tried to inflect some, you know, Western, I don't know, tone to the voices. So it was a challenging book because there's a lot of voices in that. And sometimes it would be multiple people exchanging in conversation. So it was interesting. It was a challenge. I think moving forward into the future, I might, because I did read the book fully on its own before I started recording it. I think I might take note of the characters, and I might even go to the point where I would record sentences and keep them kind of in my back pocket. So if I forgot what a particular character sounded like, I could go back. So there's no guarantee that I use the same accent or voice for multiple characters as the book progressed, but I did my best. You know, I did the best I could. And this is the week where Banff becomes the convergence point of all these riders who are going to partake in the Tour Divide, the 2024 Tour Divide. And this book would be a great accompaniment for that. So if you're listening to this, please support the My Back 40 podcast and buy yourself a copy. It's $20. It's about a 5-hour, 20-minute listen. And I think you're really going to dig it. I just think it's a really great accompaniment for the adventure and the journey that you're about to go on. So for all those people who are heading to Banff right now, I don't even know what to say. The amount of FOMO I'm feeling this year, I really want to ride it again. I'm not sure if I'm in the physical condition to do that with people who've been listening to the podcast. I'm dealing with an arthritic hip that's going to get replaced. 53 years old, and I'm getting a new hip. And as I tell more people about that, I'm learning that it's actually, for people who are fairly athletic, it's fairly normal that they're wearing their stuff out, they're wearing their parts out, in midlife rather than late life. So I feel less old, I guess, knowing that. I met a woman the other day who's had three, and she is about my age, and she's had three hip replacements. One was done and then redone. I'm a bit worried about the mechanics of it, like how it's gonna stay together. Dislocations seem to be a bit of an issue with hip replacements, which could be a problem when you're riding in the middle of the basin, right? So there's some stuff to consider. But anyway, FOMO, feeling a ton of FOMO. So my plan is to head out there this week. I'm hoping to be there by Thursday, Wednesday evening at the latest. I'm going to head out there, sleep in my van somewhere, and then hopefully connect with some people. And definitely I'll be at the start with my recorder, getting people's thoughts before they start the greatest adventure of their lives. I remember last year walking around talking to familiar people. One, I remember seeing Ted King. And I was a bit starstruck. He had no time for me though. He was on his own thing. He didn't know me. I was unknown. I mean, whatever, right? It's, I wouldn't say snubbed me, but he had other things on his mind, and that's fine. I can totally appreciate that. But I was able to give Lael Wilcox a hug. It's great to see her. This year, Megan Hakkinen's going to be there. I'm really excited. I think she's going to do awesome. It seems like all the stuff that she's been doing, Megan's been so busy riding her bike. And I remember meeting her for the first time and her saying that, she didn't have a lot of off-road experience, a lot of dirt experience. Well, God damn it. You've got a lot of experience now. And the other thing I was going to say, especially to my Canadian cohort of people who are going to be taking on the divide, is that the local BC races that happen, across BC, BC Epic, the AR, the Lost Elephant, the old one, like the Bicycer, can't remember what that was called. The one that went out to Bicycer and back. I can't remember what that was called, but they don't do it anymore. The races that are in BC are so arduous that it completely sets you up for the Canadian portion of the divide. And then as you spill out into Montana, honestly, the route, the difficulty that you're going to experience is just the distances and the time spent on the bike. Just trying to convince your mind to want to stay on the bike for so long and to keep moving forward can be the most challenging part once you get out of Canada. Canada is fucking hard. Just, it's hard. The weather can be weird. There can be snow. There's grizzlies. You know what? I didn't see any bears until I got to Lincoln City. Lincoln. Before we were going into Lincoln, we saw a bear. The crew that I was riding with, me and Tim and Jim. We saw one bear, like a young one, and pretty sure it was a black bear. But I didn't see any bears. So that's the thing, being a mid-pack, if you're in the mid-pack, you're likely not going to encounter any wildlife like that. And I want to reiterate too, bears aren't lurking the woods looking for humans to kill. I really need to say that. That's what I feel. And there's certain circumstances where you will come upon a bear that can be sketchy. And usually it's when they have young with them, when they have cubs. Keep your distance, wait it out, stay back. But honestly, and Ryan, I remember Ryan Corey talking about this in the day. It's like the idea of a quote unquote encounter or bear encounter, you know, if the bear charged you or got up on its hinds to kind of check you out, that could be an encounter. I've seen bears get up on their hind legs and sniff the air because they can tell you're there, but they don't have very good eyesight. And I'm not saying any of this to encourage any type of complacency with wildlife, but I'm telling you, bears, moose, elk, fucking grouse, and any wild animal that has cubs are going to be gnarly. Geese, you know, geese can harm, right? Loons, like any type of wild animal that has any young or wants to defend itself, or you come across in kind of a surprising way, they can all be gnarly to encounter, right? But anyway, with bears, people just need to realize that bears aren't lurking around. They're animals of opportunity, I think. Like, you know, the carrion, you know, they scavenge for food. But they're not actively seeking human beings to kill and eat. That's just not a thing. But if you come up on a grizzly bear with cubs, yeah, take the safety off your bear spray and back away and just get the fuck out of there, basically, or find a way around. So I just wanted to make that clear, because people who are coming from non-bear countries, I think, have this conception, misconception that they're these, they can be deadly, but again, they're not hunting you down. They're not stalking you. Mountain lion, cougar, maybe a little different. They're very, recluse though. Like I don't think I've ever seen a cat in the wild. I've seen bobcat, but I haven't seen, a cougar or a mountain lion. Hopefully if you see one, it's at a distance. But they're pretty elusive. Like just think of any type of cat, right? They're sneaky, right? They're sneaky and they kind of lurk around. But honestly, again, if you're laying in your tent, a cougar's not going to come rip your tent apart and drag you into the woods and eat you. It's just not a thing. So be cautious, be mindful, be aware of your environment and, you know, just have a good time, you know, make noise. I don't think whistles are that awesome to listen to if you're in a group of people. If you're in a big group of people, don't blow your whistle. Just keep it to yourself. If you're alone, yeah, blow your whistle, but that can be really annoying. Just the sound of conversation between a bunch of riders talking and rolling along the gravel and brakes squeaking and people hooting and hollering, that's enough to get rid of bears. But if you're riding in a group, yeah, keep your whistle down and just talk to the people around you, because the whistles can be pretty irritating over a long period of time. And have a bit of courtesy for the other people around you, I guess. But you know what? It's going to be the journey of your life. And that's why I'm feeling so much FOMO, because for me, the Tour Divide was a life changing. Like I said, in the beginning of my book, there's a author's note and a narrator's note. And what I said in the narrator's note is, that it's a life-changing journey. Like I knew that life was going to be different when I came back. I didn't really know how. There's a lot going on for me when I was on the Tour Divide. You know, I was still in a relationship that was falling apart. I had children. And I knew when I got back, I'll share this story. This is basically my experience. I remember sitting in New Mexico, and I don't know if I ever made this video public. Because I was really, New Mexico was really hard. So be prepared mentally for New Mexico. Long distances between resupply, hot, dry. And by then too, the field is really thinned out. So I was riding through New Mexico alone a lot. I ran into people like my pal AJ, you know, we'd run into each other from time to time, and they were awesome. I love AJ. It was so great to, I remember riding somewhere in the middle of the night. I can't even describe where it was. And I was looking for a place to sleep. And I saw a headlamp, and I was rolling up, and I was like, hey, who goes there? And it was like, Steve. And it was, AJ calling out to me. So we ended up riding together for a little bit and sharing rooms, and we had some great conversations. And, but yeah, New Mexico was really tough for me. And I remember sitting on a log, eating some like 2 day, 3 day old food that was in the bottom of my frame bag. And I set up my camera and I spoke, I recorded a video, and I was really down. I was really having a mental low at that point. And I remember saying that I would know, you know, when I initially did the divide, I was thinking that this is either going to, help repair my relationship with my now ex, or it was going to put the nail in the coffin. And I think I know it put the nail in the coffin. And I knew that, when I arrived back and had, my first encounter with my then wife, I was going to know the future of our relationship by the way she greeted me. And I knew instantly that by the greeting that it was over. I knew that instantly. I don't have to get into detail about that, but, you know, I went into the divide thinking, you know, that I had the support of my, partner at the time. And, I didn't, I really didn't. And I remember people telling, well, Bonnie Gagnon told me, she said, you know what, Steve, you should ride the divide again. And she's, I think you'll do it faster because you won't have the weight of the relationship on your shoulders. And I believe that. I really believe that. You know, as hard as the last couple of years have been, I think with, the amount of time and spent on working on me and my personal growth. And I'm not saying I'm perfect. Holy fuck, I'm not perfect. But the divide gives you this time and space for reconciliation. You can reconcile. You can, you know, sometimes you can't control the thoughts that bubble up when you're out there on the bike for so long. And you're going to have these epiphanies of gratitude or realizations of reality, the way things really are, especially because you remove yourself from reality in a way, from the day-to-day monotony of work, family, children. You know, for those of you who are going into the divide with, who are in a supportive relationship, amazing. You know, the amount of, the weight of love can carry you, can motivate you, can inspire you, right? So to have a supportive relationship and going into the Tour Divide, you're set up for success. But it's also a time, again, it's a time to get out there and gives you some space to think. And I think the other thing it does too is it really reveals character when you're out there. We all exist differently, I think, in the world. You know, there's the, you know, we wear, you might've read this analogy before, but we wear masks, right? And we have different uniforms for life. I was just talking to my girlfriend about this the other day. So like, you know, you go to work, depending on what you do for work, you may put on a uniform. It could be, you know, a proper, say a paramedic uniform or a firefighter's uniform or police or fucking Walmart or Rona or whatever uniform you wear. And then when you, and that's what you wear at work. And then you also tend to put on a mask, right? You may interact differently with your cohort there or with customers. You have to kind of be more quote on, when you put that uniform and that mask on. And then hopefully when you go back to your family and your partner and your kids, you don a different uniform, right? It could be track pants and a t-shirt and a ball cap. It, you know, it could be whatever that may be. Maybe your uniform's a suit when you go to work. So you come back home, you take off that uniform, you put on your other uniform, and you put on your other mask. So in a case of a man, we put on our dad mask, right? And we put on our dad uniform, and we put on our sneakers. We put on our work boots because we need to, I don't know, what did I do? Clean the chimney, clean the gutters, chop and stack wood, do laundry. you do all that stuff, cook. It's, you put on a different uniform for that. And then when you go on a bikepacking trip, whether it's an overnighter or a multi-week bikepacking trip, you put on a different uniform. You got the button down, the bibs, you know, whatever shoes, your helmet, you know, you put on a different uniform. And I find that, for me, the divide was a place where I could be my most authentic self in life. I felt so authentic, and the amount of vulnerability and authenticity you're going to feel out there with the people that you're going to encounter. I was watching, I want to see if I can find it while I'm on here. I was watching this great video last night. It's actually someone sent me a message. My buddy, Michael, he's like, "Hey dude, you're in this video." And it's just me, with my, the Weight We Carry shirt on, still in Canada, riding across a suspension bridge. And there were these Germans there. And I remember them shooting me and going, "Yeah, yeah." And I remember jumping on the suspension bridge and I kept riding. The one dude finished way before me, and the other dude finished, I think, around the same time. But it was a great video. Let me just try to bring it up in my history here if I can. Marcus Weinberg, and it's called the official film Tour Divide, Pilgrimage or Extreme Adventure. It's like an hour and 43 long. You know what? It's a really good video. And you know, you can really sense the emotion. I don't know if it's Mark. I think there's a couple, there are a couple characters in it. I don't know their names offhand, but you know, you get quite emotional when you're out there. So it's interesting how being out in that kind of environment can just strip your ego down and make you feel vulnerable and authentic, right? I had there's a dude, Chris, from the UK. I can't remember your name, Chris. I'm so sorry if you're a listener. Send me a voice intro. But I remember we were, I can't remember if we were in Montana and we encountered each other riding up. There's a section before you do, I think it's Whitefish Pass, the pass before Red Meadow. And we ran into each other and we were chatting and we had a cry. It was either then or it was on Coco Claims. I can't remember. It's all a bit of a blur. But we had a cry together. It's a big deal, man. Like, you're out there and you're doing so much reconciliation and so much thinking, and there's a lot of time in your head. And often that's the time, that's honestly why I probably ride with headphones all the time, is to shut the monkey mind off. And then eventually music and audio just becomes so grating and you just don't want anything in your ears anymore. And you pop the buds out and you're just listening to the environment. But then that's kind of sometimes when the emotions start to bubble up, you know, and they could be, you know, joy, it could be sadness, but just let it flow, you know. Like, a lot of times you're by yourself. I remember in Canada, Bonnie wanted me to, she said, "Promise me that you'll stop and just take a deep breath and look around." Like, basically take a break, look around, and really settle into what you're doing and really accept the what the divide is going to give to you. And I remember just recording her a video and I said, you made me promise that I was going to do this. I'm doing it. And I started to cry. It was just like, it was so, you know what? It was in the moment. It was so beautiful. It was like, I was being rained on. I was riding in the mud. There were snow-capped mountains all around me. And it was fucking beautiful. It's all beautiful. Yeah. You know what? The weather is weather. You're going to encounter a lot of weather. You'll probably get snowed on at some point in Canada, I would imagine. Right now it's pretty cloudy. It's been pretty rainy up here, and windy and pretty cold. So be prepared for cool weather, please, people. I know in 2022, a lot of people got pulled out of Canada hitting their SOS buttons. That's a whole other topic of conversation. But be ready, have all the things you need. I think a lot of people pack a little bit too light, in my opinion. But if you're someone like Sofiane or Megan Hakkinen, or, Ulrich Bartholomew, who's going out to do it again this year, which is awesome. They cover huge distances, and they can get to places a lot quicker than say the mid pack or the back of the pack people. So bring all the stuff you need. I personally brought a tent. I wanted to be comfortable and I wanted to have a cocoon. I wanted a place where I could, relax and get changed in and chill out in. I know a couple riders who started with a bivy and ended up buying a tent because it was such a pain in the ass for them. So it just depends. There's no right or wrong. I think the right is just to make sure that you're prepared for all the shit that's going to get thrown at you along the way. And not just in Canada, in New Mexico, right? You can get crazy rain. In fact, the way it works down south is it pretty much rains every day. in my experience, it was like around dinner time, I was constantly racing storms to the next resupply. You could see them rolling in, right? Because, you know, there's not a lot of big mountains around, but you could see these weather systems rolling in, and that it was fucking beautiful. You'd see lightning and you'd see, you know, I remember racing a storm to Grants. And I remember pulling into the truck stop there and it just unleashed, like monsoons develop. You can see them develop over the course of the day. You'll wake up in the morning and it'll be, you know, blue sky, just a beautiful day. And you can just watch the storms develop over the day and the clouds, white fluffy clouds that just turn gray and then grayer and grayer and black. And you're like, oh shit, here we go. And then before you know it, you're in a monsoon. It's pouring on you. So have all your things, right? Like I think my kit, I would be okay down to about minus 10 with all the stuff that I had. And I chose not to really sleep at elevation. And I had way too many hotels, I can tell you that much. But yeah, be prepared. You know, there's no reason to push your SOS if you're fully prepared for what's going on. And of course, unless you're in trouble, you've broken something or someone you're with has broken something and cannot move and cannot get out. But the fact that the weather is really shitty and you're shin deep in snow pushing through the Alpine and you decided not to bring your puffy jacket, that's a you problem. That's a you problem. So make sure you pack all the things and be prepared for whatever's going to throw at you, or be prepared to suffer through it. You know what? It's going to be the best thing you've ever done in your life, riding the Tour Divide. I cannot wait to do it again, and I will do it again. In fact, this year I thought about, I'll be kidless for about 3 weeks in July, and I was, depending on other plans that are kind of up in the air, I thought about just jumping on the Divide and just riding south to see how far I could get within that time span. But I'm not sure if I can afford that. So make sure you buy a book so I can do that. But anyway, super FOMO. I just want to say to everyone who's going to be lining up, hopefully if you're listening to this, just keep moving forward. You know, that's a Jay Peterberry thing. Just you know, 1 mile is better than no miles. And to cover those miles on your pedals or on your feet, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. And your body's going to tell you what it wants. So really be mindful of what your body's telling you. If you feel this overwhelming desire to get off your bike and just walk for a bit, just do it. And there's no law, like, don't worry about your pride. Everybody walks. At some point you're going to be walking, and just enjoy it. Use it as a break, actually. Use it as a bit of a break for the body. Cause man, I'm telling you, to be on the bike sometimes for so long, your body just needs a change, right? And you're going to be doing there's lots of hike a bike along the way. And I know, for instance, Indiana Pass, that's the one, the biggest pass just outside of Del Norte, if I'm not mistaken. It's fucking huge. It's a huge climb and punchy and super steep. And it's also leading you into some really remote areas of New Mexico. So yeah, make sure you just walk, give your body grace and just enjoy it and take smile breaks, stop, eat. Look around at what you're doing and really let it sink in that you're doing not a whole lot of people have done or have the desire to do. When I tell people about doing that, there's a woman I was talking to the other day, and she's like, that sounds like my worst nightmare. And I'm like, man, it was a dream for me to be able to do something like that. So you're living your dream. You're living out your dream and you've planned so hard to get to this point, the hardest part is getting to Banff. That's going to be the hardest part. Or Antelope Wells, if you're a Sobo or Nobo. The hardest part is getting there. Now you've got your shit, you've got your food, you've got the time off. Just do it. Just ride your bike. Keep moving forward. Take a zero. Take a day off if you need to take a day off. Stop early in the day. I did it like a 340K stretch through the night. I rode from like Wamsutter to Kremling. I think I had 2 dirt naps, 20-minute naps. But I did about 340K until I stopped. And I stopped at like 4:30 in the afternoon, 5 in the afternoon. I was done. And I stayed in my tent basically until like from till about 4:35 the next day. And then I got up and did it again. But when your body needs rest, give it rest. Because if you get into a deficit, you're not going to be able to recover from it, right? So I don't know. I've been talking at length about the divide. I'm so excited for everyone who's doing it. And I'm really excited to see you there. So if you see me walking around with my recorder in my hand, please come and say hi and let's have a chat. I'd love to chat with you. And I'm going to put together a big podcast of riders' thoughts before they start and embark on this wonderful journey. So I couldn't be more excited for you. So we'll see you there. We'll see you on the 14th. All right. I think the last thing I wanted to talk about is my current work situation. I've been encouraged by a few of my listeners that I've networked with to come on the podcast and just talk about my work situation. So I worked, I still do. This is my last week with the not-for-profit that I was hired to work for. And due to lack of funding, because it's a not-for-profit, they cannot continue hiring me. So my focus has become podcast, audiobook, and now I'm hunting for work, remote work. I can do a lot of different things. Consider this like a podcast resume. I've been in the IT world. I've roasted coffee. I've worked at bike shops, graphics, writing, obviously podcasting, book narration. I've done a lot of different things. So I just calling out to the community. If there are job opportunities in your area that you think a guy like me would be good for, please reach out. Let me know. I can send you my resume. And I can keep rolling. Right now, I'm currently just on the beginnings of another possible audiobook job. I'm not going to say what it is because it's in its infancy. So I don't want to get ahead of myself. But I'm really looking forward to hopefully reading this one and sharing it with everybody. I think it'll be a really good read. It's a formidable book with lots of small text. So it's going to be a big one if I end up going ahead with it. But I'm really looking forward to it. But yeah, and if you're out there and you want to start a podcast and need some help or consultation or production help, I can do that as well. As people who've bought the book, I've kind of introed the book with My Back 40 Audio Presents Divide by Two Wheels, Riding a Mountain Bike Unsupported. Da, 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 da. So I'm kind of like creating another branch of My Back 40 to be able to help people with their audio needs. I'd like to do narration, voiceovers, advertisements, books. I'll produce your podcast for you. I think I'm pretty good at it. So yeah, if there's any work out there, let me know because I need to feed my kids. And in this little town I'm in, there's not a whole lot going on. So I'm relying on remote work and my talents to try to find work that will support me so I can make a living. So I just kind of wanted to throw that out there. And thank you in advance for thinking of me if there are opportunities that you think I would be good for. And I think I'd be good for a lot. Also, huge IT career as well. So IT, troubleshooting, website, WordPress, Squarespace, all that kind of stuff too. So I've got my fingers in a lot of different pies. I call myself a Renaissance man the other day because it just seems like I do a lot of shit. You know, I do a lot of different things. And, you know, I have a lot of different interests. And usually those things that interest me, I put a lot of time and effort into mastering the best I can. So just wanted to throw that out there. And yeah, again, thanks in advance for your help. Another great way to support me and the My Back 40 podcast is, one, please buy a book. It's only $20. Two, support Dynamic Cyclist. If you sign up for Dynamic Cyclist, you get a 7-day free trial. And if you drop the code MB40, you're going to save 25%, which is huge. You don't see 25% discounts a lot on podcast ads. So make sure, if you're looking on feeling better on the bike, they've got training programs, stretching and mobility, injury prevention, yoga, strength training, all in the palm of your hand in the Dynamic Cyclist app. So honestly, it's a great deal, and it would really fill me up if you would go to sign up and use the code MB40. You can also head on over to Redshift Sports. MB40 is going to save you 15% off their product there. Right now, I'm running their shock stop suspension seat post on Timber, my bikepacking rig, and I love that thing. I wish I had that between, like, I can't remember which pass it is, but riding into Hartzell and then riding from Hartzell to Salida, it had to be 100 miles of washboard. No word of a lie. And some sections of the road, it didn't matter where you rode. It was washboard from edge to edge. And what I love about the seat post is, you know, innately we hover on the saddle when it gets really bumpy and washboardy. But with the shock stop suspension seat post, actually sit heavy on your saddle, and it just sucks up everything. And I did not have it on the Divide, and I wish I had during that time. And that's another funny story I'll share just quickly is, I left Hartzell. It was my birthday. It was June 30th. I just turned 51, I think. And I'm heading off in early morning. I can't remember their names. I wish I could, but, I was using the facilities at the gas station, and I came out of the bathroom, and sitting on the floor outside the bathroom door was like a big bag of M&Ms and a water and with a happy birthday. So it was lovely. But I left there maybe an hour after I left Hartzell. I'm bopping around some tunes. It was pretty early in the morning. I looked down and my front roll's gone. Front roll fell out because of all the washboard. And I remember going live, and I lost my shit. I got to try to find it, actually. I wonder if it's on my, I got to try to find it on my feed. But I went live, and I was like panicking. It was my house. It was basically my entire sleep system up front. I lost it. So I ended up turning around. I ended up only having to ride about 2 or 3 miles before I found it. And it was just laying there in the ditch. I have a double-ended dry bag that Scott Felter from Porcelain Rocket made for me back in the day. And it fell out, just laying in a ditch. And I remember finding it and sitting in the ditch. And I think I had a bit of a cry. Because it was just, I was like, what am I going to do? I was like, well, Janie Hayes lives in Salida, so maybe I'll ask her if I can borrow her tent or whatever, and I'll ship it back to her. I wasn't totally SOL, but I felt like such a rookie. I remember the negative self-talk riding back towards Hartzell, trying to find that front roll was out loud and very self-diminishing. That's for sure. But yeah, lessons learned. Make sure you check your straps. Make sure you pack your bags tight so they don't wobble around in there. So the shock stop suspension seat post was, would be a game changer out there. I'm not sure if it would have kept me from losing my roll, but, it certainly would have saved my ass. I also want to thank, Ryan Draper at Cycling 101 for his support of the podcast. And if you drop the code MB40, you're going to save 50% off your first month of coaching. And Ryan has a tendency, the talent of fitting in training programs into busy lives. And, he's been a great mentor, and I actually haven't talked to Ryan for a long time. So I'm going to call him up actually right after this, but, give him some love. And, if you're not happy with your current training program, or if you need one, you can do it completely remotely. You don't have to live in Canmore to be able to work with Ryan, but, reach out to Ryan, drop the code MB40, and you're going to save half off of your first month of coaching. Well, I think that's all I've got for today. In the past, I've always announced, in the past, I've sometimes announced a guest that I'm having, coming up in the future. And, on the 12th, I'm having this hopefully, I don't want to shoot myself in the foot, but I'm having a great conversation with a Instagrammer, a coach, a men's mental health advocate. And it's going to be a really special conversation, I think, with this person. So please make sure, if you don't already, subscribe to the podcast, give it a rating and a review. That helps me grow. And please support my supporters, the ones I just mentioned, because I often get kickbacks from them. So it helps me grow. It helps me put a little bit of gas in the car and feed my family, and it allows me to continue to bring you awesome content and conversations that I hope will continue to inspire you to get out there, do hard things, push your limits, and experience the benefits of movement through nature. That's kind of my whole goal and vision of the My Back 40 podcast, and I hope you dig it. You can also sign up on my Patreon, patreon.com/myback40. There's some different levels. If you get in at the $5 level, you're going to get early access to podcasts. Those of you who supported me at the $10 level got early access to the audiobook, and that's something I will continue to do. So if I get this next book deal, I really hope I do, you will get a running access to that project as I build out the chapters, and I'll keep you posted on that. Those of you also who are at the $10 level, please reach out to me. And I will send you the book. I'll send you the MP3, or I also have it broken out into chapters. So like I said earlier, I've uploaded this book to a audiobook aggregator, and, it's done a little bit differently. It's all broken out into chapters, in a folder. So if you'd prefer the chapters all broken out, or just one MP3, just let me know, and I can accommodate you either way. So I think that's all I have. I wanted to thank everybody for their support. Don't forget, whip out your device, record me something, and send it to me, myback40podcast@gmail.com. If you're on the divide and you're listening to this right now, as soon as you call into MTBcast, send me a voice memo as well. Let me know how you're doing out there. Also, if you have any questions or comments, I know a couple of people riding the divide this year, people who are actually rookies, but probably have a lot more race experience than me, have reached out for a little bit of advice. And I'm not going to say the advice I'm going to give is the advice. I mean, I did it in 27 days, not 15, 14, 13, 12 days like Lachlan Morton. But I think that's the whole idea about the community that's being built here around My Back 40, is we just want to help each other. We just want to help each other succeed, whether it be in biking, bikepacking, mental health. I just want to help everyone succeed. And I want to share my experience with you as much as I can, and you can take it or leave it. And I just appreciate the engagement. So don't be a stranger, reach out, say hello. And, God, what can I say? Just the last words before, you know, the tour divide is just enjoy it. Like you get to ride your bike every single day until you get to Mexico. And it's a beautiful, life-changing experience. And you're going to come out of that with so much more mastery over your craft, your camping craft, your distance riding ability, your confidence, your self-esteem. It really built me up, you know, doing this kind of thing. And you know what, when I was standing at the start line there a couple of years ago, last year, looking around, like recording conversations with people, looking around at some of the faces, it's like, you're going to feel nervous. And you know what? Don't mistake, those nerves you feel. Don't get them mixed up. Fear and excitement kind of feel the same. So are you scared? Or are you just fucking stoked? Because you're probably stoked. And yeah, it's big. It's a big thing. But all you have to do, snip it up into tiny chunks, resupply to resupply to resupply. That's all you have to worry about. And every day, for the most part, maybe New Mexico aside, there's resupply constantly. You'll always find something if your timing is right. And just go out, ride your bike, carry a couple of days of food with you, and just enjoy it. You're going to be great. And the relationships you're going to build, the people you ride with, the people you meet and talk to, not only the people that you ride with, but the relationships you're going to make with people just asking you about the why are you doing this, or where are you from, or where are you going. The relationships you're going to make out there, and I know for me, the relationships that I made on the divide are going to be lifelong relationships, you know, with people I continue to talk to this day. So really enjoy it. Don't forget to take smile breaks. And as always, keep the rubber side down.